Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm so glad you joined me today. I'm continuing a message I started on yesterday's broadcast, which I've entitled Power from On High. These are the words that Jesus commanded his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Why was that so important? Because right after he said that, he said, then go and make disciples of all men, preaching the gospel, starting in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And beloved, that's our task today. Those were the last words of Jesus. He did not change his mind. He hasn't given a different program for us to follow. He's interested in whomsoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. Our responsibility today is to declare the Spirit and the bride say, come, come, drink of those living waters. Come, eat of the bread of life. Come, drink of the cup of salvation. David say, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But the sad truth of the matter is there are many even in this nation that have not heard about Jesus. There are many that are totally uninterested, have absolutely no interest in the destiny of their own souls, and they're certainly not interested in the work of the church or what God is doing. They don't even acknowledge Him. They are so engrossed in the affairs of material living in their own lives that they're blind to spiritual and eternal realities. Beloved, hell is real. Heaven is real. We are spirit beings, and every living human being on the face of the earth, they're going to be either in one place or the other, depending on the choice of their free will. I believe God is a just God, and He will send no one to hell without them having an opportunity to receive salvation, to accept Jesus. But there are many that just say, oh, well, you know, I think I'll just put it off. Well, there might be somebody to do that, but I'm more interested in having a good time. And you know what? Jesus gave it a parable, told a story to his when he was preaching, and he said, you know, there was a rich and wealthy man, and he said, well, you know, I think I'll just tear down my barns and make bigger and better barns, and I'll just take my ease. I'll have plenty for the future. And the Lord's response was, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then all those, then where will your wealth be? To whom will it go? Beloved, there are so many people who have fame and wealth and power, and they have no conception of what awaits them when they take their final breath. Beloved, these are very serious things I'm saying. We need to consider it. We go through our lives blithely, but you never know. The life of a child could be taken in a moment's time. You could be crossing the street. A car could hit you. You could be in a fatal automobile accident. You could have a heart attack, a stroke, and be gone in a moment's time. We don't know, so we have to live our lives aware that our next breath comes from God, and we need to prepare to meet our God. And so that's the importance of our spiritual condition, that we are saved and born again. And you know, some people, if they believe in God at all, and I said if they believe in God at all, he's just sort of a vague conception in the background of their minds. The life after death is so remote that it holds no interest for them. And yet, beloved, Those are the realities. There are those that God, for his purposes, they have died and they've been brought back to life. Or there are some that just have literally gone to heaven. They haven't died. And they come back to tell us. And they've written in books, shared, and some even, you know, a century or more ago. I forget, what is it, The Gates of Heaven? I can't remember the author. But we're talking valid testimonies of men and women of God who have experienced life in the hereafter. And beloved, it is real. And so, but the fact of the matter is, we don't need, you know, remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? He was in torment, and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he said he wanted Lazarus to come and cool, to dip some water on his parched tongue, because he was in torment. And when that was denied, when Abraham said, "Nah, there's a great gulf, there's no way we can come to you or you to me." And then he said, "Well, at least send someone to tell my relatives." He said, "If someone, you know, comes back from the dead that or warns him of this place," and that's the comment was, even though someone should rise from the dead, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe. So we have the word of God, and beloved, that word is anointed. And what we need today is, in this hour, we need men and women who will roll up their sleeves and preach the truth of God's word in power and authority, not compromising, to make it palatable to the world. We need to simply, do we preach the truth in love? We need to tell the world, to tell lost sinners of their sinful condition in which they live, not to condemn them or break them down. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. But we need to show them the unveiled Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and that they might hear that beautiful invitation to accept him as their personal Savior. The sad fact is that much of the church world, as well as those who are not interested in the church, simply sometimes act as if God does not exist. True, they pray to him, they give deference to him in lip service, but they don't expect him to do anything. And if he should suddenly intervene in their affairs, they would be extremely surprised. And you might say, "Oh, Sister Glass, you're really being hard." Well, no. There's an actual example in the book of Acts, believe it or not. Persecution has risen. Remember, the first martyr was Stephen, and Saul was breathing out thunderings and threatenings to the church. And Herod took delight in killing James, the brother of John. And in that 12th chapter, it says that it pleased him to go ahead and lay hands on Peter, because Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. He was in prison, and the disciples were earnestly praying for his release, and God supernaturally released Peter. And Peter wasn't, when it says in verse 11, Peter came to himself, he says, "Now I know of a surety that the angel has sent his angel, the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And so when he thought he was like, was he dreaming? Could he really believe this? And it says, Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew it was Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, these are the same people who were praying for him for a miracle. And he said, they said, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. Beloved, sometimes, because we go through such great persecution, through trials, through troubles, we pray, and sometimes we just can't believe that we're going to see an answer to our prayers. And we have to have faith, beloved. And even if we may not get answers the way we desire, for example, think of these early believers. James was martyred, the brother of John, and they were praying for Peter's deliverance. Now, why God chose to take James and allowed Peter to live? Obviously, Peter still had a work to do. He was yet to be greatly and mightily used of God. But just because you pray for a loved one and they're not raised, they don't get a miracle, they're not raised back to life, and they do go on, you can't be embittered. You can't say, "Well, God doesn't answer prayer." He has his reasons. We may not understand now. It's, you know, not until we stand before the Lord. And then he will give us of why he has dealt with us the way that he has, why sometimes there are mysteries. But beloved, God is a miracle working God. He's a prayer answering God. The message of the Bible is this, as declared by Zechariah the prophet, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the will of the Lord is supreme. Jesus didn't heal every sick person when he went to the pool of Bethesda. It was that old, the man that had been laying impotent there for what was it, 38 years? He didn't heal everybody at the pool. We don't know the mind of the Lord. Who has been his counselor? Who has instructed him? No one. God is sovereign. He has the right to do what he desires to do. He has his reasons. He's not just, you know, he's not a whimsical God. He doesn't change, and he has an express purpose in everything. And sometimes when he does something, it's a manifold purpose. There are multiplicity of things, aims, goals he's attempting to achieve. He wants to use his supernatural power today, beloved, to bring deliverance to the hearts and minds of men and women that are lost. And to the church, many are so oppressed. We need the power of God to see the works of the enemy destroyed. And this is our work, beloved, of the servants of the Lord, to sound aloud the call of the gospel to a lost and dying generation on a road to a devil's hell. Think about this, beloved. Remember when the Greeks came to Philip, they said in John 12:21, we would see Jesus. The mere signing of a card or being on a church membership roll does nothing. It just increases the membership, but it doesn't bring salvation. The results aren't a church, but merely a club of religious-minded people. And beloved, where do you belong? To a club of religious-minded people? I was talking to a Native American pastor today, a dear friend, and she was saying, you know, a lot of them, it's just a social club. Beloved, we don't need social clubs. We need to belong to the family of God, to the household of faith. Beloved, well, my time is just, again, this broadcast has just flown. We'll have to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And I do give you a personal invitation to write, beloved. I alone handle the correspondence ministry. I read the letters. I personally pray over every letter that comes in or every email. And then if you write by email, if you'd like a personal answer, please include your mailing address, because I don't have time. Time constraints prevent me from spending much time on emails, but I always print out every request. And if I do have a mailing address, I confirm receipt. But then I will pray and then send back what the Lord would have for you. So I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. UCM partners, thank you for your constant prayer support, your financial help. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.